Hey there. We at Blue Wire just wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this podcast. We know everything outside is pretty scary and uncertain, but we're committed to helping you get through your day by talking about the sports and teams that you love most. If you're looking for more great podcasts to distract you, check out BlueWirePods.com. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the podcast and stay safe.
Started with the rug pick, and you know he doesn't know who we're picking, and I got about 5 seconds with WOW exclamation point, he was just fired up with that pick, and then we get Edwards and Bowden, and he's I don't even know how to make emojis. I was just looking at all these emojis, so I guess he's happy.
What's up, everyone? It's time for another episode of the Vegas Nation podcast. Today, we're going to bring you a full recap of what the Raiders did in the NFL draft for the first inaugural season as the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm your host, Heidi Fang, joined today with Vinny Bonsignor, Ed Graney, and Adam Hill. We are brought to you by STN Sports Mobile by Station Casinos and also presented to you by Favor. drinkoffavor.com. Check out everything we're doing on the Vegas Nation app. You can download that or check out vegasnation.com for all of our great content. Also, make sure to subscribe wherever you are listening to this show. We love hearing from you guys, so drop us some comments. Let us know what you think on social media at Vegas Nation on all your favorite social media platforms. All right, let's get right into it. That was Mike Mayock right at the top, and he was talking about Derek Carr, his excitement for what he's seen with what the Raiders did in the draft. Vinny, you had asked Mayock that question to kind of see what Carr's feeling like after getting some new toys. What do you think the overall feeling is like right now with the Raiders and where they stand with this draft?
I think they can't wait to get on the football field and put it all together. And, you know, we're talking about an offense that was 11th in the league as far as total yards. They were third in third down conversions. They have a quarterback that threw for more than 4,000 yards. And, oh, by the way, they did that without any kind of wide receiver threat, aside from Hunter Renfrow in the slot. But now they've added a game breaker in Henry Ruggs, a weapon in Lynn Bowden, and that they could utilize in multiple different ways, and a sleeper I thought that they just lucked out beyond all lucked out to get Bryan Edwards, who's a big, huge target that could go get the ball, and he's going to get on the field sooner rather than later. And all of a sudden, this offense has the type of weapons that can attack offenses in all sorts of ways. Don't make any mistake. The Raiders are going to pound the ball. They're going to line up with two tight ends and a fullback and get after it running the ball. But then when they're able to create play action type opportunities with all these weapons, there's no reason at all that this offense shouldn't be one of the highest productive offenses, and I'm talking about scoring points, which is what their downfall was last year offensively. There's no reason why this offense can't take a major, major jump in production with the new additions that they've made this year.
Yeah, Vinny says excited. I'm going to use a word, if you ask how Carr is feeling, I'm sure he's excited. The other one, it should be pressure. That should be what he's feeling right now.
He's fine with that.
No, I know, and I'm saying he should be. As an NFL player, you should be excited to feel pressure, but he should feel it because, listen, this team has – now they have weapons. They're bringing back, a pretty good offensive line, and they've got some depth there now too. They've got everything you could possibly need. It's a third year in a John Gruden system. Certainly the running backs. Everything is in place. The wide receivers have been added. And that, by the way, it also – the guys you had today joined Hunter Renfrow and – a crew that didn't have a whole lot of explosion but had some, potential there last year. Like, this team is loaded offensively. It's all on Derek Carr. And I think as an NFL quarterback, you should be welcoming that. You should be excited about it. But that's it. If it doesn't happen this year, if you're not one of the top offenses in the league this year, there's some trouble there. So I think he's excited. I think there's pressure and all of those things. And as you said, it's when you get on the field, that's what matters. And I'm sure they want to get back out there. It doesn't seem like it's going to be anytime soon, but they want to get out there and test it all out and come out and have them all come together. But there is a lot of pressure on this offense this year.
Yeah, no question.
Ed, what do you make of this as you grade kind of what they did here? They've got a few different players that are versatile in the positions that they can play. Just overall, when you look at what the Raiders did, you could break it down defensively and offensively if you like, but just kind of how do you grade what they did here in the draft?
Well, let me be honest first, because I write grades after games. I have no problem with that because we already know what kind of players are. So I don't like draft grades because no one in the world knows. I mean, you could give them a B today and an F in 2 years. So I kind of what I do with drafts is just see if I think they filled what were the perceived needs. I think they did that with speed. I think they did that with some, you know, I actually liked the pick of the guard, John Simpson, because we have no idea, no matter what Mike Mayock says today, of Gabe Jackson's immediate or long term future. You know, they got two corners who are going to be rookies, which is very hard in this league. I think I would have felt much better about their defense if they didn't miss out on Byron Jones and Chris Harris in free agency. So, you know, again, I still don't think they're a competent defense until the young kids prove they can play. I mean, they ranked last in defensive efficiency last year. So no one can say they're competent yet because guys like Arnett, guys like Robertson, even guys like, you know, Mullen and these guys coming back, they have to prove they're better, Cleveland Furl. So, you know, I think defensively, a huge question mark. Offensively, the guys are right. They should be a very, very good offense. But at the end of the day, if you tell your offense you got to score, you know, 30 to 32 every week because we can't stop anybody, then it's not going to be a good year.
Ed, I'm glad you brought up that guard there in John Simpson out of Clemson. He joins a very Clemson-heavy Raider team. And also with
the, Heidi, by the way, no rumor that New York's moving the roller coaster so the Clemson guys feel at home at the stadium.
Nice.
None.
All right, good. Good to know. But I do want to mention that we heard from John Simpson, and he was pretty fired up that he was picked by the Raiders. The Raiders didn't think he was going to last to that spot, which is why they traded up for him. So let's hear from the Clemson guard, John Simpson, and his journey here to the Raiders.
I never really had an idea of where I was going. I talked to the GM like a week before on the draft, and I mean, it kind of made me feel comfortable that I could know that I was going to get drafted. But just to know that I'm going with the Raiders, man, it's really huge.
Were there any of the other Clemson players that are on the Raiders that you were friends with that you were looking forward to reconnecting with?
Oh, all those guys, Mullen, Klee, Tanner, Hunter, all those guys are like, we're all like brothers. It's like, it's always a bond that you can't break.
Something that the Raiders also did today was go after a guy that they felt whose stock kind of fell, according to Mike Mayock, and that's Amik Robertson. Mike Mayock said that he didn't think that Robertson was going to be there at the spot where they drafted him. He said that if he was just a couple inches taller, that he probably would have gone a lot sooner. Vinny, what is your take on Amik Robertson and what he brings as an impact type player to the Raiders?
Well, you know, you watch the tape and you see a guy that just plays with a chip on his shoulder, gets after it, is physical, doesn't back up, you know, back down from any challenges. Kind of reminds me of a guy that I got to know pretty well with the Rams, Nickell Robey Coleman, who was that same kind of height, Captain Munnerlin back in the day. Just, you know, tough, hard-nosed football players that get the job done in spite of their physical limitations, kind of play with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. You know, but get the job done. And nowadays, with the slot coverage being so important, slot cornerback, not everybody can do that. It's really a difficult position because you're guarding those quick type of guys, you know, in the slot. So talking to Mike Mayock, it seems like that's where he's probably headed, although he did play on the perimeter, you know, with Louisiana Tech. So it'll be a little bit of an adjustment. But from a tenacity point or standpoint, he was impressive on film. And now, you know, because he's 5'8", he fell in the draft. He was lightly recruited because he was 5'8". I'm sure he's heard about the 5'8" his whole life. And he plays with a big old chip on his shoulder as a result. And that could only help.
He kept saying that he wanted to show Raider Nation that they didn't make a mistake. He said that like a few times on the call. So let's hear really quick from Amik Robertson.
You know, me and John Abram, you know, we have a great, great relationship. So I kind of figured, you know, they needed a, you know, a guy that could force turnovers, man, you know, just to help John Abram in the back end, you know. But it was kind of surprising, man. But I'm just relieved that, you know, that they believed in me, you know. And I told them that they're not making a mistake. I've been doubting my whole life, you know. I've been doubting my whole life. But now I'm on the stage now where I can prove the world that I belong, you know. So, as not, man, I'm just excited, man, and I'm just ready to work. Like I said, man, Raider Nation, they did not make a mistake on They did not make a mistake on me. And you know, when time passes, they'll see why.
I mean,
Adam, in your opinion, when you look over the Raiders draft class and what they did, is there any particular player that you feel was a good value pick for them? Or was there one on the flip side that you feel was somebody that they reached too much for in this draft?
Oh, I think there's a couple of reaches. But again, we've talked about what reach really means. Nobody really knows what that means unless you're able to see other teams' draft boards. Vinny already talked about Amik Robertson. I'm going to talk about him again. I love this kid already, I have no idea how he's going to translate to the next level. You watch him play in college. Certainly he wasn't matched up with elite superstars every week playing in a smaller conference, but he was up for the challenge all the time. I did not watch a whole lot of him before the draft. During the draft today, I was able to check out a bunch of clips, and I just love the physical way that he plays despite being such a little guy. And you can just tell how much he just loves the challenge and loves the competition. And that's what I like about corners. Like, going back, when I was a kid, I was obviously never going to play cornerback ever in any scenario, but I loved watching cornerbacks because I just loved some of those guys that just played with that different level of swag that just like, I want you to challenge me. I want you to try to score a touchdown on me. And, you know, there's still some of those guys that play today, but that's kind of like that old school, like that Deion Sanders type, like just bring it. Like, I want to go. I want to see if I can stop you. And just his interview today on the conference call, I loved his attitude and everything that he was saying. I think people are going to fall in love with that kid here in Las Vegas. So I love that pick. I also think Simpson can end up being a better pick. I think he's got a long way to go in the pass blocking. Checking him out a little bit today. There was some technique concerns in the pass blocking, but really, really good as a run blocker on the interior. And I think you can learn pass blocking a little bit better than you can. Run blocking is just really more desire than anything else. So I think they'll find that he's pretty good. And then Bryan Edwards, if he's healthy, I think that's a guy that would have gone much, much sooner. I think that's a good value pick if he's a guy that's healthy. And, you know, they added a couple receivers. So if he's not and he needs a little bit of time to work back, and if there is some injury issues, it's not the end of the world because they do have a couple of guys that can contribute to that position. So I thought there was a couple of picks that were kind of tough to figure out, a couple of picks that could end up being really, really good for the Raiders. And I think the biggest thing is a lot of people are going to remember, you know, if Henry Ruggs is the best of those three receivers at the top of the draft, because that's where he was picked, and there's going to be a lot of pressure on that. And how good is Damon Arnette? Because there was a group of like 8 or 9 guys that could have been that third corner off the board, and you know, the Raiders made it Arnette. So there's a lot of pressure on him too to succeed, and that's the guys you usually remember.
Now, Adam, real quick, because I've thought about this as well with the wide receivers, how are you going to judge you know, who wins out from those top three guys? Because I think there's a different way of looking at all these guys. Like, in terms of an impact, and we talked about this, our guy was Jerry Jeudy. There's no question about that. And CeeDee Lamb was our second guy. You know, but there's ways that Ruggs can – he might not be the volume guy necessarily that Jerry Jeudy turns out to be. I think Jerry Judy's going to be like a 80-catch, 90-catch guy over the, you know, the course of his career. I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight, but he's got that kind of caliber – you know, level of talent. Whereas Ruggs, I don't know if he's necessarily going to be that high volume guy, but the impact that he can have on a game could, even in fewer touches, could be every bit as big of an impact that Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb are going to be. So how, when you're looking at this, how do you look about, you know, judging that?
Well, I think that's totally, I mean, like, who's more impactful now, Tyreek Hill or Michael Thomas? I mean, I don't know. I think it's Michael Thomas. But Tyreek Hill changes everything about how defense plays. I think that the Chiefs offense works because of him, and the Saints offense works a lot because of Brees and Thomas. I mean, I don't think you could just use numbers. It's just going to be, you know, watching it. And I think as long as he's very successful, I don't think it's going to matter if there's better, you know, numbers from one of the other guys or anything else. If they're both fairly similar, that's fine. I think the worst thing for, you know, the pick is if, you know, Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb are both, you know, perennial Pro Bowl guys, and Henry Ruggs is, you know, returning kicks in 4 years and not really playing wide receiver, which I don't see happening. But if it happened, then you look back at this and just being a disastrous pick. So there's a lot of factors that go into that. It's not just who it is. And by the way, if you like, Tyreek Hill helps in the run game because if he's able to you know, occupy safeties and take the whole backside of your defense and worry about him, it opens up things in the running game. So, I mean, there's things that players do that are never noticed and never really discussed, and that you're never going to be able to measure. But I think as long as he's, you know, a very successful player, you're going to be fine with it.
Yeah, I think Josh Jacobs' best friend is going to be Henry Ruggs, because he's going to take that safety out of the equation in the run game a lot of times, which should give Josh Jacobs a lot more time and room to operate.
And when you're talking about, you know, receivers, like the other two guys went to places where they're not the top guy. I mean, Jerry Jeudy is you know, behind Cortland Sutton in my mind. Cortland Sutton, I think, is a you know, developing superstar in this league. And then you've got, you know, CeeDee Lamb going to the Cowboys, where he's not necessarily the number one option right away. So they're in different positions too. So that'll kind of shape the argument as well.
Well, Ed, I do want to get your take on this, but first let's head to break. And when we come back, we'll hear a little bit more from Mike Mayock as well. They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are all just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First-time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com.
Henry Ruggs flies. We all know that. Fastest player in the draft. We think he changes what we do offensively. And Bryan Edwards is the opposite. Big, physical, tough. We love the physicality he brings. So we feel like we brought in two distinctly different wide receivers. And again, I keep saying that I trust in John Gruden and what he does on offense. He understands how to use these guys and put them in the best position to make plays. On defense, we think Arnett's one of the toughest kids in the draft at any position. You find a corner with his instincts and toughness. We love him. We just thought he was a special football player. And he'll come in day one, and he's going to compete. We expect him to compete for a starting job. And then we've talked about Robertson already today. Whether it's inside or outside, it's another competitor, another guy that Rich Versace is going to love on special teams. And we expect all these guys to come in and compete day one.
That was Mike Mayock, and he was talking about how some of the wide receivers, as we've already talked about here on the Vegas Nation podcast, are going to help to improve this offense. They're looking for speed. They're looking for tenacity. They're looking for versatility. And, Ed, some of the picks that the Raiders have made, particularly when you look at the safety linebacker Tanner Muse out of Clemson, what do you make of this kind of a pick? And even like Lynn Bowden, for that matter, being one of these versatile type dual position players that the Raiders can kind of, I think Mike Mayock said it in the first night when they were recapping what they did, that he's kind of like a joker that is going to be put into this offense in that manner. So what do you make of these players here that they've got?
Yeah, I'm actually excited to see Bowden because of what you just said, because he can do so many things, or he did so many things in college. And I want to see how John Gruden can use him in different situations. I mean, it's a complete layup, but if I look at the draft, I'm maybe most excited about Ruggs only because I just want to see if he's that fast and, you know, if he can make the difference that people think he can with his speed. Tanner Muse is interesting. They traded up to get him. Now, maybe in his mind, he was a great special teams player at Clemson, and he said that's how he's going to make his mark on the team. Well, you're a third-round pick. You better make your mark on the team in the field as well. So I don't know exactly how many snaps at linebacker. He said he's lined up a corner at safety. So let's hope a third-round pick plays a heck of a lot more than just on special teams over time, maybe not as a starter this year, but that guy's got to develop into more than a special teams player. We talked about Simpson. You know, Meek Robertson's another kid they picked in the fourth round last. I mean, I like any kind of corner they get at least to start because there's competition, but everything you read about him, Robertson is, you know, he's small, he's overcome things, chip on his shoulder, but he doesn't tackle really well, that he can't get people to the ground, and he's about to go into league with much bigger, faster, stronger receivers. But he's really good against the pass. He's, I think the number was 54% of opposing passes, completed. That's really good for a corner, and he had 5 picks last year. So he's probably got to get a lot better against the run in terms of tackling people. It's grading a draft is just, it's meaningless in the sense that no one knows absolutely anything. The guys who drafted these guys, Mayock and Gruden, have no clue. They might know more football than everyone that talking here, but they don't really know how guys, they might have thought Josh Jacobs was getting good last year. No chance they thought he was going to be that good. So you just have to let it play out. You have to get guys in camp, whenever the camp is. You have to get them going against men And you have to put them in schemes and see how they do. And that's what makes it exciting for a team like the Las Vegas Raiders coming to Vegas. But it's just really hard to make determinations on these guys because really nobody knows.
I do want to jump in one real quick on Robertson. Like I said, I've been watching him today. I'm very, very impressed with his tackling ability. I thought that was going to be an issue too.
I'm just going on what everyone who's actually covered him says. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I loved his tackling ability. I thought that was going to be the biggest concern when I started watching today. And I was like, man, this dude, he wants to tackle. I've seen him miss a couple, but he wants to tackle on every play. He's certainly not one of these corners that's going to shy away from that. So I think that's one of the biggest things.
I mean, there's a difference between shying away and just not being capable also. I mean, I'm sure just listening to him, he's very, very confident. I would suggest he backs up 2 feet on the I can take on Tyreek Hill the first time he sees him. But you want guys to be confident. There's no question a guy who's 5'8", and has always said he's overcome. I mean, my license says 6 foot. I'm probably 5'9" and a half. So we all try to be better than what we are. And we all try to, kind of, if you have the chip on your shoulder, play hard. But again, this is just people who saw him weekly and people who evaluate him say it. But again, I don't put any stock in mock drafts or people who evaluate. So I just, I just wait till a guy's on the field and can he play? And believe me, in the NFL, you're going to know really fast whether you can play or not. There's not a lot of waiting around in the NFL to say, oh, he's good or not. You're going to know right away. So hopefully there'll be a training camp to where we can all go out and watch if they even let us watch to see how he is.
First, I always wanted to be 5'2", and I also wanted to play football. That was my first schoolyard fight when I was 8 years old. It was because the boys wouldn't let me play. And guess who got to play? I did. And I caught a ball. Anyway, I'm just going to secondly say that you bring up a great point there, Ed. I think a lot of pressure right now and a lot of eyes are on Mike Mayock and how he's done with this draft class, given what he did with the previous draft class. But this is going to be a much more uphill battle for the Raiders getting into how they handle the training of this class, because like we heard him say, Vinny, on that call, was that there is going to be a different type scenario this season because of the coronavirus and because of everything is in a virtual setting. What did you make of Mike Mayock and what he had to say about that, Vinny?
Well, it was interesting. And I think for those reasons as well, he tried as much homework as he possibly can in talking to these guys, face to face. You're trying to gauge, how much these guys care in terms of, look, you're not going to get the normal offseason that rookies typically get. We need to rely on you to do your homework, to stay in shape, to follow the instructions that we're going to be able to, to give you between now and probably training camp and show up ready to play. And I can tell you firsthand experience, that isn't always the case. You don't always have guys who are conscientious enough to be able to pull that off in a way that they're going to need to pull that off, especially without the coaching staff and your peers, especially as well, hounding you on a weekly and daily basis in settings where everybody's together. These guys are going to have to do it on their own. And so when Mike Mayock, and he's mentioned this before, people get sick of hearing this, you need to find guys that you have a pretty good comfort level that they're going to be able to handle that when the boss isn't there. And so it'll be interesting when we get to training camp to figure out who, was able and capable of doing that and willing to do that and who wasn't. And for the Raiders' purposes, the hope is that more rather than less guys took this all seriously and were who they kind of thought they were going to be and are and had the confidence in to be able to pull it off so that when they get to training camp, they're going to be good to go.
God, that's so optimistic. When they get to training camp?
Oh, man. They'll be at training camp.
Oh, man.
Adam, what does the doomsday prophecy say?
I mean, training camp 2022? That's interesting. I'm joking. I obviously hope that we have a training camp also.
Yeah.
And the NBA, by the way, for those that haven't heard, the NBA looks like they're starting camp again in a couple of weeks. So there's some optimism out there. I'm just ribbing a little bit.
I thought you heard something on Twitter. I thought you saw something on Twitter, Adam.
No, not this time.
Oh, Speaking of what's going on Twitter right now as we're speaking here, you know, the Raiders are still signing some names here during the undrafted free agents. And Adam, one of those guys comes out of UNLV and Javen White. And I'm curious to think, you know, we're Ed and I were talking a little bit about him off the air, whether, you know, what position he'll play at and if he gets into special teams or if he's going to be kind of a guy that is going to have to really prove himself out there on the field when he gets out there with this team. But what do you make of that? He's a UNLV guy and maybe he gets a chance to play in Allegiant Stadium. Just maybe.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. And by the way, it looks like Raiders just added a kicker too off the undrafted free agent list. Dominic Eberle is who they picked up from Utah State. So,
oh my gosh, can I jump in here real quick?
Yeah. No.
Okay. I'm so because of the quarantine, you know, they showed a lot of, you know, bowl games and pass games and so Utah State has been on quite often. And of course I watched Jordan Love, but I kept seeing this kicker just kicking the you-know-what out of the ball. I thought to myself, if he's a senior and he's coming into the draft, that would be a guy that I would bring in, you know, if I'm the Raiders, to push Daniel Carlson. So, you know, I guess I put it out there and it happened. That's crazy.
There you go. Well,
he's good. I mean, going off that, what I saw, that guy's got a monster leg.
These are pieces that definitely should be fun stuff to see if we have a training camp, if we get to watch some battles here play out in positions. What's up, Adam?
Heidi, you mentioned Javen White, so we should mention him. So, yeah, he's a guy who played a lot of linebacker in college, but he's kind of caught, you know, another one of those guys that's kind of caught in between positions. Could play safety, could play linebacker. I have a feeling they'll probably talk to him and kind of see where he wants to go, you know, maybe get a little lighter and play safety, or maybe get a little bigger and play linebacker. But to me, he's just a guy that can find the ball. If you watched any UNLV games, if anybody went out to any and checked them out or saw them on TV, not that they were on TV very often, but if you were watching UNLV play defense and there's a pile, he was always part of it. And he was always making plays and really was like the only guy that would stand out that, you know, if you were just watching the ball, you'd be like, oh, but that guy's there again. That guy's there again. He was just always making plays. So that's the kind of guy I think that is a perfect undrafted free agent type guy to just come in and just work like crazy. Again, if there's a training camp and just work like crazy and try to impress some people, and whether it's with the Raiders or somewhere else, I think he's got a good shot to make it.
So let's get to everybody's final thoughts here as we wrap up things with the NFL draft on the Vegas Nation podcast. Ed, I want to come to you and say, just what do you think overall that we have to anticipate here with what the Raiders have done in the NFL draft?
You mean we'll combine free agency and draft just to see what kind of team they are right now?
Yeah.
Very short and sweet. Much better offensively. Don't know if they can stop me defensively.
How about you, Vinny?
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit like Ed said. It's hard to judge because you can't judge until you see him actually on the field. But you know, and I've talked to some people in the NFL, mentioned this a little while ago, I think. People that I talked to were like, wow, what the Raiders are doing is making sense. And for so long, this has been an organization that it was the opposite of that. They were the head scratcher organization, and it cost them. And we see, obviously, in the record, but more and more, and it goes back inside the league to the Khalil Mack trade, where people understood that, you know, within the league, what was going on and why, you know, they did that and the dynamics that were involved, and the discipline that the Raiders, you know, showed in saying, okay, we're going to move on from you. It's not because we don't think you could play. Obviously you can play, but we'd rather have the money and the draft picks to fill all these holes that we have on this roster. And they've slowly but surely gone about filling those holes in, I think, a pretty positive way. So when you start talking about this draft that obviously addressed major needs at wide receiver, and we'll see about the cornerbacks being able to come in and compete at a high level very early on, last year's draft with Josh Jacobs and everyone, the five starters, a sixth in Jonathan Abram, who will get on the field eventually, Corey Littleton, Nick Kwiatkowski, the free agents that they signed, at linebacker to address a major need. Malik Collins, who I think is a sleeper pass rush guy on the interior, Rod Marinelli. It's talked about this a lot. That was a huge pickup, bringing in Rod Marinelli. The Raiders are doing things that make sense. So in that regard, it's an A for me what they're doing. Now, these guys have to reward that faith and that belief, the players I'm talking about, and get the job done. And it's also on the coaching staff as well. You know, we mentioned there was pressure on Mike Mayock. The pressure now is on John Gruden. I know that he knows that and understands that and accepts it. But between the players and the coaching staff, they have to put this together in a hurry because the tools are there. Now it's about execution.
All right. And Adam, just your final thoughts here on what the Raiders have done in the NFL draft, as well as some of the free agent signings that are happening as we are speaking.
Yeah, I think what they're doing, it makes sense, as Vinny was alluding to. I think instead of, you know, going out and getting an Antonio Brown type player, you go get, you know, people like Kwiatkowski and Littleton and Collins, who are a little bit more under the radar. It's not going to create headlines, but it's just going to make you a better football team. And I think what they did with the draft is filled in a couple of spots that they needed to be filled in, and then just grab guys that they wanted to be a part of their team. And that makes some sense. Like, I like what they're doing. I would say if nothing changed right now on the roster of where they are, I think they're a better football team. But I don't, you know, I don't have any expectations of them taking some massive step forward in a division that has the Chiefs. And by the way, a Broncos team that I think got significantly better, and a Chargers team that I think is the second best team in the division now. So I think the Raiders could be a better football team, and you don't necessarily see it in the record, but they're building what they want to build here.
It has to show up on the record, and I'm going to put you on the spot. How many more wins do you think that they got this offseason?
Well, I think we have to see the schedule. I'm going to say 9.
Okay.
8 or 9.
As a 9
or 7? I was thinking 8.5 would be my number. I think 9.
I think there's a good chance they picked up 2 to 3 wins in this offseason. And then knowing football and how crazy it is, obviously bounces, everything, injuries. But I think that they've put themselves in a position to win 3 more games than they did last year. And that could put them, like you said, 9-10. And then all of a sudden, especially with an expanded playoff format, you're knocking on the door.
Ed, what do you got there?
Given the division, what Adam said, they're not near the Chiefs yet. I think the Chargers are also the second best team. I actually think Denver's better than them right now. I'm trying to think. Brady comes here, they have to play the Saints. They have to go to Atlanta. We saw what happened last year in New York. Everyone thought they'd win, and they were embarrassed. Don't know what New England's going to have, but they'll be well coached. I'll say 8-8.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I've been tweeting a lot about everything happening, and the Raider Nation out there is telling me that they are given this draft a B grade, and that, you know, there's a couple people out there saying there are a couple reaches, but they're not too upset with when they look at the quality of players that are coming their way. So we will stay with you here on Vegas Nation and our podcast every week. We will be back with weekly episodes. Check back every Friday afternoon for new ones. Make sure to subscribe wherever you are listening, and head over to VegasNation.com, download the Vegas Nation app, and check out all of the great content that we have there. And we are brought to you by STN Sports Mobile, by Station Casinos, and also presented to you by Favor. For Vinny Bonsignor, Ed Graney, and Adam Hill, I'm Heidi Fang. Thank you so much for listening.